Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of Revelation chapter 12, we were talking about Satan being referred to as a roaring lion, and the ability of a lion being so well-toned that he can come up behind someone without being detected. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We also find out that Satan is called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he's the god of this world who seeks to blind the minds of people, and when people are showing their sin, Satan tries to say, oh, isn't that crazy? I see that with Christians. I really do. Satan gets in there and as an angel of light so deceives them. Preacher says, you ought to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When those doors are open, you'd be in God's house. Satan tells you, oh, you love God. You don't have to be there every time the doors are open. Oh, it's all right if you go watch that movie. That preacher's just over. He's a legalist. Oh, boy, Satan can deceive you, and your eyes, your mind is blinded. He's the god of this world. And if you walk in the flesh, the spirit will be defeated in your life. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because these two are contrary, the one to another. We find also Satan is called the prince of this world in John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And there he's called the prince of this world. We find in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So he's also called the prince and power of the air. In James 4, verses 7 and 8, it shows that he can be resisted, but not in your power. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You don't defeat Satan in your own strength, but you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So understand that you must resist Satan in the power of Christ and his word. Then we read this about Satan in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It's interesting they use the analogy of a lion. A gentleman in our church told me the story of something that he had either read about or had reported to him, but it was about 42 midget wrestlers in a country in the Far East. And I'm not sure which country it was, but midget wrestling was a big thing there. And they wanted to see, it's an experiment, what would happen if 42 of these midget wrestlers tried to fight one lion, all of them together at once. They had to stop after 28 of them were dead and others were hurting. And the lion was unscathed. It said that a lion could just walk right into a room, if you're in a room, and your back is to the door, no one's in the room, it's completely silent, that the lion is so well-toned that he can walk in the room and you won't hear, and he can come up and grab you before you know what's happened. Again, he is a prince and a power of the air. This also lets us know that the events of this chapter are not time-specific, for they start with the fall of Satan before the creation of man to the virgin birth, and even on into the tribulation. Now, since the angels have been referred to in scriptures as stars, we see that approximately one-third of the stars, that is, the angels, fell with him. That's what verse 4 is saying, that when he says there that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And so they fell with him. They were cast to the earth, and this is where we see the ministry of them in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it talks about principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we wrestle against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against these things as Christians. God created these satanic beings with different gifts and powers. And when he created them, they were good, but the free will gave them a choice. But I want you to understand, Satan and his army is a well-organized army that works together. In Matthew chapter 12 and verses 24 through 26, we read this. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" So he's showing them, hey, this is a well-ordered army. It's not divided against itself. Now, Ephesians 6:12 said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Principalities are the generals, you might say, in this army. In Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13, it says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia." Now, what we see happened here is that Daniel prayed there in Daniel chapter 10. That very moment, God sent one of his angels to him with a message. There was one of the principalities, Satan's principalities, one of his generals, that tried to withstand this angel, and it was a battle trying to get by. And so finally, this angel gets Michael, an archangel, to help him. And he's finally, after 21 days, able to get through unto Daniel. The next group are powers. Power speaks of authority. That is, they seek to have authority over your life. If you're saved, these powers, these devils, cannot possess your new nature, but they can be problems for your body, as in the case of Job and Paul. Job had boils from head to toe, and it was caused by Satan. And for that to happen to his body, things had to be done inside his body to bring those boils up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, telling us about Paul, and Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now notice this, "the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now notice, this is a thorn in the flesh, not outside the flesh. In the flesh. Some say that it was his eyes. Some have had other ideas, but whatever it was, it was caused by Satan. It was a messenger of Satan. It was actually a devil. It was one of these powers that were fighting him, that was fighting him and continue to fight him. The powers may be the deceivers. For an example, listen to Isaiah 29, verse 13. "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. In other words, they get into these psychological principles, and they teach things about God and religion just based on your psychological principles, not the exposition of the Word of God. And he says they do this. Yeah, they honor them with their mouth, with their lips, and their lips with their heart. Oh, no, it's far from them. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 through 11, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, that passage is saying, here's some that are saying, look, we want to feel good. We don't want to hear about our sin. We don't want to hear about our evil. Have you thought about that? John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11 tells us of the Holy Spirit. Christ said that he'd send the Holy Spirit, and he would have a threefold ministry. He would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Now, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said. Preachers are told in 2 Timothy 4 to preach the word, to be in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We're told in 2 Timothy 3 that the word of God is for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We're told that it's for reproof and rebuke as well. Now, if a man is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we know what his ministry is, then how is he going to preach? According to 2 Timothy and to John 16, his preaching is going to involve against sin. He's going to preach righteousness, in other words, tell you what you ought to be doing. Some people think you're preaching righteousness when you just say, now be nice, be good, do good works, go out there and mow your neighbor's yard, give some money to charities of some kind, give some money to this research and that research, and give it to this group and that group. They leave out the gospel. They leave out witnessing. They leave out holiness. They leave out things of that nature. And you see, righteousness is to do the commandments of the Lord. People think you're being negative when you preach righteousness. When you're preaching Christian, you need to be out there witnessing. You need to have a gospel witness. You need to stand against sin. See, those are things that are righteous. And so he talks about that, and he talks also about judgment to come. When a preacher doesn't preach in those ways, he's not preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because I say so. It's what the Bible teaches us. And so we see that it happened in Isaiah's day, and it's happening again in these last days. They want you to speak into them smooth things. Make us feel good about ourselves. Don't call us to repentance. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light into your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.